season 6, episode 16, Family Meeting has just ended, but we're just getting started here on Post-Show Recaps. I'm Marissa Garza. I cannot go into family sorrow, grief, any of this alone, so I am here with my co-host, Jason Reed. How are you doing today?
Marissa, I'm doing good. I'm not as drowning as I was last episode in my own tears, but the ending kind of started to get me there, but I'm okay.
Yeah, I feel like it was like, I even said to myself, like almost 3/4 of the way through the episode, I was like, I'm not crying as much as I expected to be crying. It was like this, and then it was like, oh, it's like I said the thing, and then it happened.
I was very appreciative of them giving us a little bit of a break from most of the episode and providing a lot of a good comedic moments, you know, mostly to the, you know, to the benefit from Beth. You know, Beth provided a lot of comedy this this episode. You know, hashtag Beth for president. I love Beth Pearson. She's getting up my ranks as the best character on the show.
Yeah, I think you and I think everything I saw on Twitter was in celebration of Beth Pearson.
Yeah, for sure. And all the slings and arrows she's taken over the 30 plus years that she's been a part of this crazy family.
Yeah, I mean, as she said, a burden and a blessing, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they could escape the big story here. Like, we all know what's happening. We all know that Rebecca Pearson's, you know, on her way to passing away. So they are, and they only have a finite amount of time to get the story in. So I don't know how much liberty they could have put in there, but I'm glad we got what we did.
Of course. Yeah, for sure. And you know, I don't know how you feel about what we're going to get in the next two episodes, but I'm thinking we'll maybe get Rebecca's death episode next episode. And then we'll have a like kind of epilogue in the final episode.
This is what I was thinking. This is what I said in the recap, the kickoff show. I'm glad to see that it looks that way because I'm, you know, looking forward to kind of seeing life after everything. And especially after where we end up in this episode, I don't think it could handle like two episodes of goodbyes. Like that would not be something that I could emotionally handle. And I think Mandy Moore was telling people on, I think she was on Jimmy Fallon, and she said that like the penultimate episode, you might want to take a day off of work, but the finale episode is like a little hug.
She said it made her throw up reading the script. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I can handle that.
Well, I'm sure she's like, you know, it's a lot for her personally. Like, I don't know. If I had to play one character in so many different years and with so many different people, I'd probably have a lot of emotions that probably needed to get out of my body, I guess.
I mean, yeah, if I was reading a script about somebody like talking about my death, like for so long, I finally read the script when I die, I'd probably have a lot of emotions too.
Yeah, like the buildup, right? Like she knew it was coming. So, without any further ado, should we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Let's call this family meeting to order. We've got this episode, as all episodes, there are a lot of back and forth, but I really, really appreciated how they centered on Rebecca and her care for her kids, and in return, her kids' care for her. So we start this episode off, you know, Rebecca's being surrounded by, you know, screaming babies, and we see, you know, her getting woken up by a different age of child along the way. And Kate wakes her up at 5 a.m. because she's had a bad dream about gremlins. Who doesn't have bad dreams about gremlins? And she wants some waffles. Randall, of course, like wakes up for a debate tournament. Like they're each waking up for their own specific, very true to themselves reasons.
Yeah, freaking Jack, man. Just like, you know, I really wanted him to be like, to open like one of his eyes, like as Rebecca was leaving, like, God of that. Like, you know, this man like can sleep through a storm, apparently.
Well, you know, who knows? He must have been saving the day the day before.
Yeah, he was tired. He would be his angel self all day. And he was tired of helping people and tired of being the perfect person. So, you know, he was taking a much, much deserved rest. You know, and kind of off of that, it's just so interesting how like the first few seasons of this show, were like, Jack is the best person in the world. Jack is a superhero. Jack is the best man you could ever meet. And for the last couple seasons, it's kind of switched and turned into like the Rebecca story. Like the Rebecca is superwoman. Rebecca is super mom. And I really enjoy that. You know, we're not getting as much hero worship of Jack. We're now in the final stretch getting more hero worship of mom, where the first few seasons it was like there was even some resentment to Rebecca from Kate, especially, you know, for different things. And now I'm happy to see Rebecca getting the attention she deserves.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, no one is perfect is an easy saying, but it can be hard to show sometimes when it comes to, especially in families, and especially when you've got three kids who are really, 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 really looking up to their father. And so being able to break that down and kind of switch it up, I think, was really creative on their part.
Yeah.
So then we flash forward and we've got old Rebecca. And this was so sad because we know how sad last episode was, but this was so sad just in general, because old Rebecca wakes up and she's searching for Miguel, and she's like, where's Miguel? And the nurse comes in, and she's even scared by the presence of this nurse and doesn't really understand where she is or where Miguel is. Kate walks in and kind of tries to center her. Randall and Kevin come in, but you can kind of tell that like Randall and Kevin aren't really looking at their mom. They're not really looking at taking care of her. Like Kevin goes to get a pillow and kind of just like
throws it behind her back. He's like, all right, so I did my pitching for that day. I'm gonna go back over here to the safe space with Randall. Like they were very standoffish. And, you know, this was an interesting thing that came up, you know, later in the episode. And, you know, I think that's probably relatable to a lot of people because they're kind of looking at Rebecca as like, I don't know who, like a stranger kind of like, I don't know who this person is. Like she's not mom I remember. But this nurse must love her like assignment, because like every time she goes to try to do something with Rebecca, like one of the kids like, no, I'll do it. You're good. I'm like, this is a cush job.
But if she really, really wants to help people, it's probably really, really hard for her not being able to do the real things. But yeah, I mean, it's a nice house.
It's just my lazy mindset.
It's a nice house.
Like every time I go do something, these people step in and do it for me. This is a cush job right here.
I just had my like experiences with my grandparents and like the nurses that took care, like whenever I tried to step in, they were like, but that's why I am here. Like, this is my gig.
Layla, this nurse is like, no, you go right ahead.
Like, I know, hey, she was. Yeah.
I'm going to take my lunch. I'm good.
So they finally calm her back down and, you know, say rest, because tomorrow we're going to have a fun, beautiful day. But she still like goes to sleep looking for Miguel. We're still a little confused there. So the next day, we're still at the new cabin. Everyone wakes up. Everyone's in the kitchen. No one seems to have slept. We learn that it's been about a week since Miguel died. So everyone's been kind of still at the cabin since that time. And they're just kind of wondering, you know, how much longer is it going to be like this? I don't think they've really like measured the impact of Miguel and the care that he was providing and the buffer he was providing from really like seeing the reality of the situation.
I think probably in their minds throughout this whole thing, I'm not sure they like really gave space for the possibility that Miguel would go before Rebecca.
Right.
Because it just seems like they're so kind of shell-shocked by this, like, oh crap, like we didn't think about what would happen if like Miguel was gone. Like Rebecca threw that in there at the Thanksgiving like meeting they had, but it's like we didn't really like think about what would happen if that was the case.
Right. And and he just was there, like so present and so attentive to her that, you know, he probably was taken for granted on some level. Everyone's there except for Beth, because Beth knows when there's sadness, we got to go get some carbs. So again, big ups to Beth for being the best.
Yeah.
I mean, I would want carbs. That's for sure.
Comfort food. I mean, you see the Chinese food throughout the whole episode, and that's just like, that's the perfect thing like for sadness to be like, I don't want to cook anything. I just want some greasy, like probably really bad for me food to make me feel better in these moments.
Yes. And it's not just the big three and their family is there. Madison and her family are there.
Okay, Madison and Eli.
What? Yeah, get to what? It.
Okay, why are they here?
Because they're Kevin's co-parents.
Okay, like Also because the actress that plays Madison is like the creator's wife.
Okay, but if you're going to make that argument, you have to trace it back all the way.
Okay, I guess. But like, I don't, why couldn't they have been at home watching the kids? I don't understand.
I mean,
Eli is probably like, what am I doing here? Like, this my family removed like two spaces. Like, this is my wife's old, you know, ex's family. Like, why am I here?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think Eli is kind of like Kevin again. We have to go for Kevin again.
Right, exactly. Like, this man is taking over our lives. This man and his family is just infecting our lives.
I just feel like the Pearsons are going to Pearson and they're going to bring everybody there. I mean, yes, there is some outside of show context, outside of story context that we can read into it. But from, if we're staying in universe, I think it makes sense from a Pearson perspective that everybody would be there.
I suppose.
So they're there and they're going to go out and explore. Nikki and Edie are going to take them out. I just wanted, there was this one cute moment where, Nikki was asking the kids, did you pee? You peed? Are you lying? Like, that's such like a such a kid conversation.
I love that we got some content here from Franny, because you know it kind of feels like Kevin's and like what's the Haley. Kevin's kids and Haley are really getting the short shrift here in terms of like characterization and story. But I was glad we got some content from the little, you know, little Franny, you know, being a little mischievous. Did you pee? Yes. Are you lying? Yes.
And we do learn about Haley too in this episode. So they're making sure we're remembering who's around.
Huevos Rancheros.
Yeah. Yep. So they're going to go out on a little excursion. Well, the big three come to the realization that everyone has to go back to real life on Monday. Kevin's got to go to the Manny Reed. Kate has been away from her kids. So I guess this is a fair point in the comparison, because Kate's kids aren't here, but Kevin's kids are
exactly
here. I think that's a fair
call. Why are Madison and Eli here?
Yeah, I think that's a fair call.
So what season are we in the Manny? Like, are we in like season 10 of the revival for the Manny at this point? Like, this revival is doing really well.
It's like the longest running revival.
Yeah. Is this the first confirmation we get that Randall is now a senator?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is the first time we are hearing that Randall is a senator. They've like kind of like yada yada through a couple of things. Like, they got married. Like, Sophie and Kevin got married, and Randall's a senator, and all this stuff. But in this conversation, it's like definitely known that he is a senator and has lots of important meetings.
Are we going to get President Randall by
second,
you know,
coming of Barack Obama through television? Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to. We got two episodes to make it happen, so let's find out. Speaking of Randall, Randall's going to Randall. You know, like, this is his.
We thought he learned from his like excursion with his mom. Like, you know, after she said like, "Kate's gonna be in charge of everything." Like, okay, cool. Randall got the message. Randall did not get the message, apparently. And he's gonna like you said, Randall.
Well, I do want to stick up for him a little bit, because as we see throughout this episode, there's a couple of times where you can see that like Rebecca confides in him, but maybe a little too much, and maybe in ways that Tooth Fairy, but like, like, they have this relationship, which I think, you know, Kevin refers to later on in the episode as like kind of messy, but I think it, like, sometimes she leaned on Randall in a husbandy kind of way. And, you know, in times of high crisis and in times of trauma, one is going to revert to what they know. So of course Randall's going to Randall, but also I can see why he's Randalling.
Especially after Jack died, like, Randall became kind of like another husband to Rebecca.
Yes.
Like, you know, she's like, thank God for you for protecting Kate. You know, it's not really like, she's not really discouraging Randall from being like the dad. She's kind of encouraging it, which I think has kind of led to some of Randall's like control issues later in life.
And,
you know, this one as a prime example of that. Like, he cannot relinquish control over this family because he feels like another father.
Well, and he's the only one who can fix it, right? Like, because of all other things that have happened, you know, Kate was never ready. Kevin was always a mess. Like, he's the only one. He's the only one who can do it. So he wants to have a family meeting and come up with a plan for mom. And Kevin's like, hey, yo, the plan was that I build this house and, you know, provide for her. And Rachel's like, yeah, that worked for many years, but we can't leave her here by herself. She needs family. And then there's a whole conversation about she's not alone because there's AIDS. And how are we going to do this? How are we going to manage this? Are we going to come up every other week? Like, this is not enough for Rebecca.
Yeah, I mean, but and then we get to, we get the classic, like, Beth and Philip coming upon the scene.
Yes, yes.
And Beth, like, look, just Beth can tell just by looking at what's happening, like, oh crap, here we go. Like, this is a problem.
I loved it.
She clocks it, like, expertly. Kind of like, yep. How do you know what we were talking about? Like, were you talking about caring for your mom? He's like, oh, yeah.
You're having the what's next for your mom talk. What are you doing? Oh, yeah, we're having the next for your mom talk. And she, like, I love her, like, lecture of sorts. She's like, just go through your Pearson process with your feelings and your stuff and things. We're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go down to the cabin. Yeah.
She knows the deal. She's been here enough. She knows what's going on. And Philip is, like, you know, just the lost little deer in the forest. And, like, you know, Beth, like, lays on the law. She's like, all right, everybody capiche? Capiche. And then as Philip was walking, he's like, yeah, capiche. I'm like, no, Philip, no. That wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Not for you, Philip.
Yeah, and I can empathize with Philip, like, just trying to find his place in all of this. And also, like, being concerned at the same, from what little we know about him, but being concerned about care for the family.
I don't appreciate much about Philip, but I do appreciate being given the kind of, you know, insight that we're getting, like, into this as being a new-ish member of the Pearson family. We kind of get that from his perspective, like, you know, seeing what it's like to be in this new moment of crisis, which may be, you know, isn't their first moment of crisis, because this is a prolonged, like, crisis they've been dealing with Rebecca. And at this point, I think Philip and Kate have been married for, like, a number of years. I think so. Yeah, they've been married for some years now, probably about five or less, maybe, if I had to just take a random guess. This is probably the first, like, big crisis they've faced while he's been with the family.
Yeah, so what do you do, you know? What do you do?
You gotta follow Beth Pearson's lead. What you gotta do?
I mean, that's what I would do. Anywhere she leads, I will follow. So we flash back to teenage time. The phone rings. Rebecca's home alone. This is after Jack's death. She's got to go pick up the kids at Denise's. Denise is like, "Don't worry about it," because, you know, everything that's going on. But it's during that time where the kids are kind of, like, acting out and getting into you know, trouble. Kevin's at a party. Like, they all are at a party, but I'm sure it was Kevin who was like, hey, let's go to this party. Randall ends up, you know, has a bloody lip because he was in a fight, and Kate was drunk. And the reason why Randall was, you know, so beat up is because guys mentioned what Kate was wearing and was, like, trying to get her to participate in certain activities. And this was the conversation that you were talking about earlier, where Rebecca says, you know, thank God for you, Randall. Like, thank you for stopping this. Thank God for you. And that's, like, it's like a weird thing. It was, like, weird for me to hear from a mom to a son type of conversation. Like, not saying that parents aren't thankful or to God for their children, but it was kind of like, thank you for saving my daughter. It was weird.
As if he was, like, some, like, random stranger that, like,
saved
from, like, getting hit by a car or something. But yeah.
Yeah.
I got the sentiment. It just leads to, like we were saying, putting the pressure on Randall, like, through kind of positive, like, feedback on this. Like, she's starting to put the pressure on Randall to make it seem like Randall has to protect the family. It could have been a situation where it's like, Randall, I appreciate that, but that's not really, like, your role here. Like, I do appreciate you looking out for your sister, but, you know, that's not really your role here, but thank you. Not like, thank God for you, Randall. Like, that was, like, really above, like, over the top.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was a mother of three and my husband died in a fire and I was all by myself and I didn't know what to do. Like, I don't know how I would react in that situation. So I can empathize with why it happened, but the fact that it did happen has a lot of, like, repercussions throughout Randall's life, I think.
Yeah, and it feels
and
like
repeatedly.
yeah, this is extremely fresh, you know, Jack being dead. So she's just looking, she's just happy to get support really from anywhere at this point. I'm sure that Miguel has come back and has come into the picture at this point to help her out. But, you know, just in this instance, she's like, thank God for you. Like, I'm at my wit's end here being like, your father just died. But yeah, I get it. It's just, you know, she's starting the pressure that she doesn't know she's putting on Randall to be the hero of the family in Jack's absence.
Right. So back at the new cabin, the house of the new cabin, they've got Chinese food. They're getting ready to have this conversation. Kate has brought a therapy cat, and the brothers are like, this thing was
creepy.
Yeah, like what? I do want to mention, though, I think that like Kate and Philip both being involved in a community of like of in the disabled community with the with Jack, but also the school that they are both working at, does color the care that Kate is giving to Rebecca and her family at this time. You know, she's like looking for an intervention with the therapy cat to help facilitate this conversation. And I think it's really important to recognize, because it's a different skill set. It's a different way of managing situations. I know I worked at a school for developmentally disabled children, and my grandparents were also getting older at the same time. And there were some skill transference that really did happen and really did help to kind of break things down and make things easier to care for people. So I recognize what the show did there. And I think it is paying off for Kate.
Yeah, for sure. And especially when this was all starting with Rebecca, you know, at Philip and Kate's wedding, like you can tell that both Philip and Kate were working with Rebecca through like music, which is something they could relate with her on, because they both taught music at the School for the Blind. So yeah, it was definitely a way for Kate to deepen her relationship with her mom, especially in these moments where they were using music to kind of help her along and help her remember things. So yeah, you're right. That is definitely something that benefited them in this case, dealing with people that have certain issues. You know, being blind and having Alzheimer's are two different things, but there's still things that need to be worked through. So that's good for Kate and Philip. I don't like giving Philip too much credit, but yeah, because we'll talk about Philip a little bit later too, but I'm still not digging on Philip. I don't give him too much credit, but he does seem to be providing some asset to the family. He's very supportive, as most Pearson significant others have to be.
Yes, agreed. Back at the old cabin, so at the new cabin, they're having Chinese food, talking therapy cat. At the old cabin, we've got the spousal group, the little three, not the little three, like, yeah.
No, the little three, okay, let me get on my soapbox for a minute. The little three was Beth, Miguel, and Toby. This is not my little three. You can call this like the mini three. Like,
they're not mini. You're not going to make Beth a mini. Here's the thing. But you're listen, not going to make Beth a mini.
Beth is the carryover. Fine.
Can they be the three, the beta, the 3.2 version two?
I guess. But
I don't know. Like, but I don't know how to refer. How are we going to refer to them? The spousal three?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we can call it the mini 3.2 or whatever, but this is not my little three. Okay, my little three
was the best little three
you could ever find. And shoving Philip in here, and what, no disrespect, no disrespect to Sophie, but Sophie ain't been around as long as Beth. Okay, yeah. Sophie is no. We're kind of new to Sophie a little bit. Like, Sophie has popped up at the end.
This is true.
So I don't feel as much of a kinship to her as I did, say, a Toby that we spent a lot of time with. But yeah, fine. Like, you know, little 3.2, whatever. But it's not, I do not recognize them as my little three. My little three is the best little three you could find. And I'm upset that the show has broken up my little three.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm feeling feelings about it.
It's okay. It's okay. I get it. They were like the greatest little three. Like, I agree with you. I'm at a quandary as to how to refer to them. So I will say, not Jason's little three.
We can call them the inferior little three. Let's
okay,
do that.
All
the,
right,
the
all
inferior
right.
Inferior little three.
I think we've figured it out. The inferior little three are over at the old cabin, and they're kind of like they're just like hanging out, but they're also like saying like this is like a time capsule. And again, Philip's like, yeah, I don't really like attach to any of this. But Sophie and Beth are able to call it like play by play, shot by shot, what is happening over at the new cabin. And it is just, it's fantastic.
This was so good. It was fantastic. So good. Really great performances, really great, like, you know, getting into the character of their significant. I was like, yeah, we know this story. We've sung this song before. Sophie hasn't really sung the song as much as Beth has sung the song, but Sophie still gets it because Sophie was around them when they were kids. So like she understands as well because they was a lot of bickering, especially when they were smaller too. But also like, why do the inferior three have to go to the old cabin? Why can't we be in the new cabin and y'all can bicker in the old cabin? I want to be in the new house. Like,
that's where Rebecca is. Rebecca's in the new house. We got to be by mom.
We can take care of Rebecca for, you know, a few hours while y'all go bicker in the old cabin. I
love how you're like on your inferior three team and I'm like,
well, listen, I want to give everybody a fair shake. Like, why do we get banished to the old cabin with no Chinese food? And y'all are here.
That's fair.
Bickering.
That's fair.
Y'all should have to go to the old cabin if you want to bicker. We should stay here in the lap of luxury with the Chinese food while y'all go bicker.
Fair points.
I'm wrong, but you know.
No. I get it. Speaking of the new cabin, over at the new cabin, Randall's just making his case, as Beth predicted, because she was like right before we got to the scene, she's like, Randall's probably making his case about blah, blah, blah. And we get here and Randall's making his case. He says, Miguel was the man on the ground and now he's gone and it's different. It's like very measured, very patient, but very logical. He's like, I've been thinking about this and I think that mom should move home with me.
Somewhere in Randall's suitcase is a notepad with all these bullet points on it and pros and cons of why mom should go live with him. He's been rehearsing this, as Beth said. I'm sure he practiced it on Beth on the way to the cabin.
I'm sure he had this like the day the Thanksgiving speech thing when he was not chosen. It was like, this is what's going to happen. It's like, Kate's not going to be able to do it, so I'm going to have to do it. So this is how it's going to go down.
They were at Miguel's memorial, and Randall's like, so how am I going to convince these two to let mom stay with me? Like, that's probably what his thoughts were like. So if I tell them that I can move my meetings to 2 weeks a day, I can be there longer. Like, he was probably going over this as soon as they got the news that Miguel was gone.
Yeah, and I'm sure like every day as his life changed, as he got elected, you know, he probably didn't have meetings right at the beginning when he was first told. But, you know, as he became a senator, his schedule changed. He's probably always taking into account what he would have to do. Mm-hmm. And back at the old cabin, we again, spot on. Beth says he's going to want to move her to Philly. And Sophie says this is going to make Kevin mad. And they both like say Kevin and Beth things, I mean, Kevin and Randall things at the same time again. Meanwhile, Philip is just like feeling really sad and saying, you know, Kate is there. Like, I'm sad for Kate, but then also it's going to be fine because Kate is there. And both Beth and Sophie kind of just like look at each other kind of in the same way that the big three looks at each other in certain situations.
Yeah, I liked this kind of acknowledging, well, you know, Kate, like the two brothers are going to overpower Kate. Like, that's Beth and Sophie, like, talking like, well, you know, Philip says that Kate's there, so it'll be fine. Like, no, when Kevin and Randall get into their stuff, like, there is no, like, stopping them. Like, that's what they're thinking. Like, Kate does not want to kind of insert herself into the Kevin and Randall thing and overpower them. They overpower her, which is what their looks are, I think.
Yep, 100%. So back in teenage time, Rebecca's doing, you know, the post-party kid cleanup. She's bringing soup to everyone. She goes into to talk to Kate and she says, I don't think I've ever seen you wear that much makeup before. And Kate already is just like in a defeatist type of thing, you know, say what you want, you know, two out of three ain't bad. It's like, it's okay. I'm the mess up. I get it. She says, two winners, one dud, kind of like Hansen. The way you see me, the way that dad saw me, you're wrong about me.
Which Hansen brother is the dud?
I'm going to go the Zach drummer Hansen. Guy.
No, the drummer is the dud. Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's pretty much right. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Mm-bop.
Yeah.
I don't know. They wrote that, so I don't know which one. It could be a toss up.
Hey, listen to Oom-bop lately.
I love Oom-bop. I love it.
It is not the Marvel that we thought it was when we
were kids. Jason.
Listen, I was an Oom-bop fan too.
That is a podcast for another day because that song can just bring you back. It could just bring me back.
I don't know about that. Have you listened to it in the last like 5 years?
I listened to it like this week.
You listened to it like as you heard Hanson on this episode, didn't you? You paused the show.
No, I did not do that. No, my Spotify knows me well enough, excuse me, that I needed to hear it at a certain time. And it's just part of like my, it's part of my mix.
Okay, Marissa.
There's just, I mean, I would just like to tell you, I am a white suburban girl.
Hey, like, listen, I was a black urban guy and I liked Oom-bop. Okay. Oom-bop was like, infectious back in the day. It affected everybody.
Like, I was surrounded. That's true. But I mean, like, I was surrounded by it. I could not escape it. So it brings back a lot of memories to me. So it might not be like the musical thing, but it was like, it was everywhere.
I listened to it like a few years ago, like, because for some reason it became back in the zeitgeist. And I was like, let me listen to this thing again. And I was like, really, literally, all they say is Oom-bop and then just some other gibberish words.
Doobop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't believe I loved this song back in the day.
Well, yeah, one day we shall do the Oom-bop podcast. I'd be happy to dissect it with you.
We'll go line by line and try to figure out what the heck they're talking about.
Yes.
You're on for sure. We'll talk to Josh about it.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine. So back at in Pearson Land at the new cabin, Kevin's like, Randall, like, what are you talking about? You have all these meetings. You're not going to be able to smush them all into, you know, 2 days a week. It'll be better. Randall says it'll be better because I'll be there. Like, whoa. Like, whoa, no. Kate wants to keep talking. And Kevin is also just like trying to get Randall to see like, hey, look, I built this house. Like, this is there. I gotta do this for her. I was a pain in her ass her entire life. I did this. Let me do this. Like, don't take this away from me, Randall.
Yeah, Randall's like, I could do it. I got it. If I was Kevin, I'd be like, are you sure, Randall? Because in like a few months, I don't want to have to come down to Philly and pick you up off the floor because you're having a nervous breakdown because you're trying to be both a senator and a caretaker to our mom, like I had to do way back when I had to pick you up off the floor. When you had a nervous breakdown before. So it's like, Randall, I understand you want to take a lot of the responsibility, but like, you got to know when to hold them and no one to fold them, my guy. Like,
100%.
Haven't you learned by now? You can't take on too much. But no, Randall's going to Randall.
Another great song. See, we're making a playlist.
Yeah. That song I can get down with. Like, that's a good song. I approve of that one.
Back in teenage timeline, Rebecca's so she visited Kate, so she goes into Kevin's room and just like yells at Kevin. So just as Kevin recognizes like, hey, I've been a pain in her ass her entire life, we get a scene of Kevin receiving the message that he's been a pain in Rebecca's ass, because she just like goes in and is like, get it together, Kevin. Like that's really her main message for him.
Yeah, this episode really, like, and as the whole series has, like, really showcased how Rebecca loved each of her children differently and how she loved them in ways they needed. For Randall, she, you know, kind of treated him as a little grown-up the way that, you know, he responded to well. With Kate, she really kind of came in and was like, oh, honey, it's okay. Like, really lifted her up when needed to be. And with Kevin, she gives him a lot of tough love because she knows that that's what he needs to quote-unquote, get his act together.
Yeah, and we see that again in a scene that comes up right after that, which is where Kevin has lost a tooth. This is super younger, not teenage Kevin, but Kevin lost a tooth, and he's like, yeah, and I'm going to catch the tooth fairy. And Randall's reaction to the tooth fairy is like, I always have bad dreams when the tooth fairy comes. I don't want the tooth fairy to be here. So she's able to provide Kevin with the, okay, you're going to catch him? That's great. that's so great. But he's able to, or she's able to comfort Randall by saying, you know what, this is the deal with the Tooth Fairy. Like,
what do you think she told him? Because I want to know, like, I want to know what's going on with the Tooth Fairy. Like, does she really know the Tooth Fairy? Like, that's what I want to know.
Oh, I think she told him the truth, because later when she goes to put the tooth in the box and stuff, like, Randall's awake and sees her.
But wait, no. What is the real truth? I want to know who the Tooth Fairy is. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I can't tell you.
Because she took the tooth, and I was like, why is she taking the tooth? Like, that's the Tooth Fairy's job.
Well, she's so, like, my parents would take it and, like, put it in, like, a fancy pillow thing. Like, I don't know.
But then they would
like,
give it to the Tooth Fairy later? I'm not understanding.
I don't know. I don't know how.
Where did the Tooth Fairy actually come in? Because I thought the Tooth Fairy was going to take the tooth. That's what I've been told my whole life.
I mean, I just put it under my pillow, and then it was magically.
I was
money.
Mad confused. Like, where does the Tooth Fairy come in? Why is Rebecca taking the box? What is she telling Randall about Tooth Fairy? I was confused.
This was how Rebecca was magic. We don't know.
I guess. Maybe. Is Rebecca the Tooth Fairy?
That could be.
Is she everyone's Tooth Fairy?
She could be. I mean, okay. I wouldn't put it past her. She's Pearson.
Give us your Tooth Fairy theories. hit us up on social medias and let us know what your theories are on the Tooth Fairy and why Rebecca took the tooth from the Tooth Fairy. That was rightly the Tooth Fairy's tooth.
Well, they keep it. Like, my parents like have my teeth. Like, it's weird. It's like a thing.
No, your parents don't have your teeth. The Tooth Fairy has your teeth.
Well, okay.
Marissa, I don't know where you're getting this information from, but the Tooth Fairy has your teeth. Now, I don't know what the Tooth Fairy does with the teeth. I don't know if I want to know, but your parents don't have your teeth, Marissa. I don't know why they told you that.
Well, then there's some weird stuff happening. So
that's the issue with you and your parents. You got
to. I will
out.
Talk I to them. I'll talk yeah. to them. I'll talk to them. But so she ends up telling Randall, you know, what's up with the Tooth Fairy, but is also providing for Kevin, like, his ability to somehow catch the Tooth Fairy. Back in the current timeline, back at the new cabin, it's Randall again is like still talking about smushing meetings. And Kevin is like, don't you remember what mom said here? She said, you will not make your life small for me. Like, yeah. That is what you're doing. He's literally saying, I will smush my week. I will make my week smaller. And Randall doesn't want to hear it because he's like, I know her. And Kevin's like, yeah, I know you think you know her in this weird messed up way. And Kevin says, Kate's in charge. And Randall says, Kate's barely said a word. I was like, how dare you, sir? How
it was true, though, because you dare could tell, like, you? Like, Kevin and Randall have these such big, like, personalities and big things, and it does feel like Kate is, like, smaller when that's happening.
Sure, but it is not Kate, you barely said a word. It's, we've not given Kate
yeah,
time
they won't
and
let
space
Kate say
to
a word.
Say
yeah,
yes,
so,
exactly.
Sure. And I think Randall, like, Randall called himself, like, oh, my bad, like, you just, it's just, you know, that's what, this is not what mom wanted. Like, this mom would realize that we want to change it up because that's what has to happen. But yeah, he caught himself after he kind of slammed Kate a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. We get a scene of like kid Kate with Rebecca, and Rebecca just like knocks on her door and says, I thought we could paint our nails together. Talk to me. What's going on? And you can hear, like, this was like super A+ parenting by Rebecca. I was like, super smart, bring in an activity, have them be distracted. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, Kate's like, whoa, here's what's on my mind. My brothers are always ahead of me. They're better at board games. They're better at sports. They're better at losing teeth. Like, all of the things. And Rebecca says, don't worry, you know, you're a late bloomer. It may take you a bit longer to do some things, but trust me, you're gonna leave them in the dust. And it's just another A+ parenting move by Rebecca Pearson.
Yeah, but I mean, Kate's no senator.
That's okay. Hey. That's a whole other podcast about success in America. Like, I think that Kate's pretty successful.
She is successful. She's successful. But she ain't no senator. Let's just say that. She's no Manny either. I mean, I don't know about leaving him in the dust. She's done better for herself, but she's no senator or the Manny.
But parenting wise, maybe she's a better parent.
Boom. Got it.
You know? You know?
That's how she
So back at the new cabin, Rebecca comes out, and this is a thing that happens commonly with Alzheimer's patients, is they might put on too much makeup or makeup that looks different because they don't necessarily recognize where they are in time and space. So Rebecca comes out, and her makeup, you know, doesn't look aesthetically pleasing currently to Rebecca, but everyone here knows, you know, what's going on, and just like encourages her and says, "Oh, you look so pretty. Do you want to go for a walk?" And Kate, again, relieves the nurse and takes Rebecca on a walk.
I'll go take my lunch. Now I don't have to walk outside and go take my lunch in this fancy ass house that I'm in. Like, this lady has got the job, okay?
It's true. It's probably quite a commute because it's in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, it's pretty cushy. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty cushy. But she probably could stay there. Anyway, they go on a walk, see if there's any apples on the tree. And this is where Randall starts to say, something's different. Like, that's not our mom. Our mother was magic, which I thought was interesting.
That was a little much. I was like, okay. Like, so, yeah. I mean, we've seen Rebecca be mom, but I mean, is she like a magic mom? Like, she's kind of mom doing mom things, I think. I don't think we've seen anything out of the ordinary for like your average mom, I guess.
So, but the way they're putting it, though, yeah. And you get your needs met, that's magic.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how to communicate that as a kid. You don't need, you don't know how to say, like, "No, mom, I really need you to believe that I need to catch the tooth fairy."
Yeah. And this is kind of him verbalizing, I think, probably what he had already felt subconsciously just by that scene where he wouldn't come into the room. He was like looking at her weird, like, "Oh, like, that's not our mom anymore." Like, that's what he was subconsciously thinking anyway. He's just now verbalizing it and realizing it, like, in real time.
Yeah. And he ends the scene here by saying, "She always knew what each one of us wanted, or each one of us needed." And so
yeah, that's true.
I was like, oh, I expected to start crying. Didn't happen yet. I did not. The cry meter has not started yet. Then we get the little scene of the whole tooth fairy in the box gets caught by Randall. Back in the new cabin, Randall is like talking to Kevin because Kate's out on the walk, and says, "I'm sure she meant well sitting us down and sharing her wishes, but she couldn't have imagined what it would be like to pay her back and to do right by what's left of her." And then he doubles down on Randall here and says, "I'm not going to leave her alone in this house, and there's nothing you can do to change my mind," and walks away.
Like, bro, what are you, like a supervillain? Like, there's nothing you can do to stop me. She will come to Philadelphia with me if I have to kidnap her myself. Yeah. Like,
Kevin's just like, Kevin has been throughout this entire time has been the most open, like listening, thinking, like he's been the most healthy I've seen him in confrontational situations. And here Randall's just like putting up his wall, saying, "This is how it's going to be. Gotta go." And he does that. Then we get some, you know, scenes where we can see what it was like when Kate was a baby. And this was a little scary, but also really telling in terms of the relationship between the two of them. Rebecca's reading Goodnight Moon to Kate, and it's time to put her to bed, but she doesn't want to go to bed. She ends up crying, wants to spend time with mom. They end up watching TV, and Rebecca narrates the TV, which I thought was like, again, if I were a parent, I would steal this. It's like a book, but not like it's moving up. It's like a moving book, and you still get the like parent voice thing. I thought that was great. But Rebecca's so tired because Jack's away on business and she's taking care of everything on her own. She's on the bed. She ends up falling asleep, and we hear Kate on the floor crying. So we assume she fell off the bed.
Yeah, Tooth Fairy probably came in and took her off the bed.
Yeah, it was that Tooth Fairy. Now she's super strong. She's like, what is Tooth Fairy on steroids? What's going on? Over back in present time, Kate's walking with her mom and they see a hummingbird. Philip is looking out the window and sees them, kind of like gives like good vibes through the window.
Good vibes through the window. You can do it, Kate. Talk to
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Try to telepathically like shoot her some positive vibes.
I'm here. I'm with you. But Beth is like, they probably ordered the good Chinese by now. And Sophie's like, do you think Randall already stormed off? And Beth's like, yeah, for sure.
100%. He is already laid down the ultimatum, laid down the gauntlet, and walked away telling them how it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Philip is not finding any of this funny. He's like, oh, it's so great. You two can predict what's happening. It's Party so wonderful. And Beth, this is where Beth is like, listen, I've been a part of this family for 30 years.
So like, listen, like that means that Beth's got to be like, what? I'm assuming 48 or so.
Yeah, almost it was 50. Like in college, since freshman year of college, because they met in that welcome thing.
Yeah, ooh, 50-year-old Beth, still got it. Black don't crack, baby. Like, ooh, 50-year-old Beth, I'm here for it.
And she has like no F's left to give, right? Like, she's just like, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell Phil, it how
you're not going to tell me how to act around this family when I can be along with it. Both of y'all combined.
Yeah, she's like, here's my Pearson card. I'm going to take it. I'm going to throw it.
I've been a platinum member of this family for well over 30 years now. You're not going to tell me how to react to this family drama. I've been part of the family drama for years. Don't tell me how to be with the Pearsons.
Yeah. And I think this is something that the Magnificent Little Three knew and understood. Yeah. But the Inferior Little Three is kind of, you know, waking up to, because she follows up her 30 year statement by saying, sometimes I need to blow off steam. It's been the greatest burden and the greatest blessing of my life. Like, yeah, like this is just one little moment, Philip. Like, imagine 30 years of these moments. And he's like asking, because he wants to know, because he's, you know, going to be around for the long term. He's like, is it like equal parts burden, blessing? And again, Beth being Beth is just like, depends on the day, Big Phil. Depends on the day.
Big Phil.
I love it. I love it. I love that Beth got like all that time to do all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like Beth wasn't getting a big spotlight recently, but this was a great, these are a lot of great moments for Beth. No wasted Beth moments in this episode. Every Beth line was fantastic, was great, was exactly what people need to hear at the moment. Fantastic.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Kate and Rebecca are on their walk, and they come back, and this is where we get two scenes back to back, one where Kate is sitting in the chair reading to Rebecca, and then one flipped where when Kate was a baby, not yet, but Kate is on the reading to Rebecca, and then we go back to when Kate was a baby, and Rebecca is like frantically calling the doctor here, and she says, you know, Kate fell off the bed, I'm here all by myself, I don't know what to do. And then she puts Kate into the crib and sits next to her along this
were you hoping that we get one final Dr. K sighting? Because that's who she was calling, was the doctor that's been like throughout their lives.
The man who plays Dr. K has been on television for like ever and a day. So
yeah, he was Major Dad.
He was, but he was also Delta Burke's husband, Delta Burke from Designing Women. And mm-hmm. this like is a whole thing when I was growing up. I'd like to see him, like maybe I think we might, given the fact that we got a pregnancy test scene in this episode, we might get a like just one more Dr. K, but not in the next episode.
I think this was our opportunity. I don't think we're seeing Dr. K. If we didn't see Dr. K this episode, I don't think we're seeing him again.
Okay, that's fair.
This was our opportunity. I think Dr. K is not coming back. I thought we'd get him this episode, but no.
So there, you can see here though, going with the whole Rebecca gives care the way every person needs. We're seeing it reflected back at her by Kate sitting next to Rebecca's bed while Rebecca needs her. It was just
there were a few of those scenes littered out throughout this episode, which just gives the, like, you know, the whole parental child relationship is cyclical. If all things go well, at some point you are going to have to take care of your parents, you know, barring unforeseen tragedy one way or the other. If there's a possibility that you will have to take care of your parents later down in life as they took care of you. And this is a big theme throughout this episode, where we had multiple shots of, later in the episode, we'll get Kev putting on her shoes as she was putting on his shoes in scenes back to back, which was just another instance of that. So yeah, it's a big theme of this episode where, you know, it's a cyclical relationship. And I think they portrayed it extremely well in this episode.
Yeah, and I think it's true that not only was Rebecca giving her kids the love that they needed, like love in the way that they needed, she was also telling them the love that she needs. Mm-hmm. Every part of that is like every way that she gave love is part of her too. She needs yeah. someone to read with her. She needs someone to take care of her the way that Kevin is. She needs some, like she needs them. And so like the fact that they're able to reflect that back to her as she ages is, you know, I think this is true with any relationship that, you know, you're treating people the way that you want to be treated, whether that's as a subconscious or a conscious level. And we kind of just, we see that play out very clearly in this episode. Well, before we go any further, I think we'll take a little break, check in with our sponsors and see what else happens with the Pearsons at this family meeting. And we're back. So Kate has just gone on this walk with her mom. She's probably like, oh my gosh, mom's like not in a great place. I got to figure this out. I don't know what to do. I know what I'll do. I'll call Toby.
Oh, Toby. I miss you, Toby.
It was great. I liked seeing Toby here.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Good. I got my Katobi back. It's just, you know, like this again, like who needs Philip? Get Philip out of here. Give me my Toby back. I need my Toby. And he played this so perfectly.
Got my Toby back.
Another song for yeah. this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, Toby was watching the kids, which I thought was also great. Like growth from Toby and like wanting like from both of them actually, that Kate like trusted Toby to be alone with the kids and all of that stuff. And he was really stepping up in his parental role. We find out Haley likes huevos rancheros, and Kate's like just letting Toby know what's going on. And Toby's like, okay, listen, I need some permission to overstep here as a former husband and current co-parent. So Toby, very so Toby. And he says, you are what the kids refer to as a baller. You have your master's in education, but when you're around your brothers, you become like this unsteady version of yourself. I just don't get it. Your mom chose you for a reason, Kate.
Yeah, this was like talk about like short shrift for people. Like this was like, oh, we'll just mention what Kate has been doing because we didn't really get a good sense of what Kate has been up to in the future. Yada. Like, oh, you got your master's in education and you're you're making the curriculum for the whole state of California. Oh. It's like, oh. Kate's doing big things.
Yeah, where's the dust now, Jason? Where's the dust now? Huh?
She's still not a senator. Or the Manny.
I'm just saying.
Okay, I put what Kate's doing above the Manny, okay? Yeah. Not a senator, but she's got her master's. Like, but they gave Kate like no love. And they're just like, all right, we'll just slip this in here that she's doing great. Fine. Y'all want to know what she's doing? This is what she's doing. Fine. Leave us alone. Like we get like all this like backstory for Randall and for Kevin on what they're doing and how the lives are going. It's like, oh yeah, this she's doing this little stuff. All right, you happy? Well, like we'll move on.
Do we think it was purposeful and reflective of how Kate feels in the family? Or do you think I'm reading too much into it?
I think you're reading a little too much into it. But I do feel like looking at the series as a whole, that this is kind of what they do a lot. They do kind of give Kate short shrift a lot.
Yes.
She'll get these big story arcs with Toby, but that's pretty much all her story arc has been. Has been like Toby, Toby, Toby. Meanwhile, with Randall, we get like, you know, nervous breakdowns. We get becoming a councilman. We get all this stuff. And with Kevin, we got all of this stuff. But Kate gets a short shrift a lot. But, you know, now they're like, okay, yeah, she's doing well. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Kate's very appreciative of Tony or Toby here. And Toby closes it off with a classic Toby. Oh my God. Should we get back together?
I screamed yes in my house as I was watching. I was like, yes, you should. Get rid of Philip. We don't want Philip.
I appreciate the eye roll from Kate. Like, okay. Yeah. I get it.
Okay, Toby, whatever. Okay. But you know, we're far into the future now, right? And I don't know if they've stuck at iPhone 13. Cause those cameras look the same as the iPhone 13. Like, have we not upgraded our technology? There should be like 18 cameras on that bad boy. You know, how iPhones like to add cameras with every iteration.
This is not Apple TV. So NBC's hurting, apparently.
But at least they gave Toby an iPhone because you hear like the, he works in tech. You know, true.
Oh, yeah.
But you hear like the old adage of like, you know, villains never hold iPhones in TV or film. So Toby is still confirmed a hero. because he's holding an iPhone.
It is canon. It is canon. So we flash back to baby
Philip Kate. Probably has an Android.
Oh, hey now. That. Hey now. As an Android person, there is nothing wrong.
Oh, no. No,
with Androids, no. Marissa, I am the green bubble. I am proudly the green bubble.
The podcast is over. I can't do this podcast with you anymore. You're an Android user. I gotta go.
So we go back to baby Kate, and you know Rebecca's been sitting up all night next to Kate as she's been sleeping, and just like waiting for her to wake up. And Kate does wake up, and this is where Rebecca picks up baby Kate and says, "You knew exactly what mommy needed." And if that is something like from that time on, it's super clear as to why Rebecca made the choice that she did.
Yeah, 100%. Like that's, you know, I don't know if that's a direct reason, but you know, she knows that Kate, even as a baby, knew what Rebecca needed. And well, this carries like, over into the present for like Kate knew what Rebecca needed at that moment.
And that whole night too. I mean, like, I know Rebecca was tired and probably wanted to go to sleep, but she was probably lonely and just wanted to like hang out with someone. So like, let's watch TV. Let's, you know what I mean? Like, she's always been that type of companion for her mom, I think.
That's spin. You know what Rebecca, needed? She needed Kate to shut up and go to sleep so mommy could get some rest.
That's true. I'm not saying that that's not true, but we have seen other moments where Rebecca just wants to like hang out with the girls and like do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Also reminds me like a few episodes back where we were in teenage years when Miguel left and Kate was there for Rebecca.
Yes.
Like, you know, in that moment where Rebecca was crying about Miguel leaving and Kate was there and gave her what she needed, gave her a shoulder to cry on. So that's another kind of instance of that.
Yes. I will return the sass to you, sir. So then we have
sass received and acknowledged.
Beth is like tired of hanging out in the old cabin. She's like, "Listen, I gotta get some food." So she goes up, she gets some food. She thinks she knows better, but she thinks she can get out of there without being noticed. But Randall's like, hey, let's go talk about some stuff.
I love this moment where she like turns around and Randall's like, "Hey," he's like, she's like, "Damn, so I can get away. I can go get this Chinese food and go back to the old cabin with the other prisoners and serve them up some rations, but I got caught by this damn Randall."
And Randall's like classic, and Beth knows exactly what this conversation is going to be, because Randall sits down, they're sitting down on a bench. Randall goes, I don't see any other way. Kate's overwhelmed. This is how it is. And Beth is like, "Listen, don't underestimate your sister. She's had to manage you two big egoed brothers."
Yep.
"And also look at your brother. He's not irresponsible. You're talking about versions of them that no longer exist."
As, like, as Kevin is talking to the lady he knocked up and her,
yes,
and her husband.
Yes. Like,
he's not the same Kevin that randomly knocked up his sister's friend. He's better now. No. He's okay with his former flame and her new husband. He's all good. He's mature now.
It's mature.
He can talk to them without being a jerk.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And they're on, you know, family vacation / griefcations. They're on griefcations together. Yeah.
that is a great term, a griefcation. That is precisely what this is. We're going to go into Poconos and have a little fun right after, you know, Grampy Miguel died. I liked how Randall's like, Kevin's probably gonna run off and shoot Avatar 7.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, as with these release schedules of the Avatars, you might only be on Avatar 4 at that point. I mean, Avatar 2 is coming out, what, like 10 years after the first one?
Oh, man.
Only be on Avatar 4 at that point.
I really hope we don't have 7 Avatars. I mean, like, I'll enjoy them, but...
We don't even need a 2!
I don't need it. So, but kudos, A+ to Beth, as usual, for being the voice of reason here. And how many times, like, I think this does happen very commonly in families where you don't see each other for very long, or in this case, you see each other all the time, and you're just looking at a past version of that person and treating them without acknowledging the growth that they might have gone under or changes that might have happened. So a learning lesson for all of us.
Yeah, Randall's so caught up in himself and in his mom. Like, this has been a years-long problem, apparently, where he has not looked at his siblings as, like, individuals. He's, like, he's stuck in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of wonder if there's, like, some, like, form of, like, negative feelings from Randall, like, oh wow, like now my siblings have caught up to me, like now I'm not the, you know, the big cheese in the family anymore, like now they're on my level, like I don't have to look after them like they're, I'm their father and take over the family. I wonder if there's any like regret feelings there, negative feelings.
I'm sure there's like feelings of, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to act, I don't know myself in this capacity when my when I don't have to do these things.
I can just let it go.
Yes, you can do it. Let it go. Another song for the playlist. Yeah. Then we've got, if we're going to have Randall and Beth on a bench having a conversation, we're going to have Kevin and Sophie also having a conversation. And they do their little check-in. And Kevin says to Sophie, you know, my mom used to talk about this day, Lazy Saturday, where no one had to be anywhere. We could just watch old movies, play Foursquare. I had the stupid idea that by building this house, I could recreate that for her. And he's like feeling defeated. And Sophie's like, that's not stupid. And he shares that Randall wants to move Rebecca to Philly, and maybe he's right, but he just keeps, he's not giving up on himself, which I think is another sign of growth from Kevin. Cause he's like, I gotta get this one right. Like I gotta play this in a good way. I gotta do this.
Yeah. This is another moment of growth from Kevin. And like a little earlier in the episode when they had their first family meeting and like Kevin gets up and like walks away. Kate's like, don't leave. Kevin's like, oh, I'm not leaving. I'm just getting more walnut trip or whatever. But yeah. Like, I think former Kevin, like, would have left, would have been like, forget this, I'm out of here, and like walked off and stormed off like a little petulant child. But no, he's sticking into the conversation. He's sticking into this bad moment. He's not running away from it. And that's just another sign of him like growing and him maturing and him being like Alpha Kev. Like he's the best version of himself so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Kate interrupts and's like, hey, let's get Randall, we have to talk. And then she sits him down and says, I will make a decision because that's what mom wanted. So she's not shrinking. She's saying, I know what role I have to play here. I'm going to do it. But before I do that, you have to look at your mom. You have to go in and you have to see your mom. And they are like, what do you mean? I see her. And she's like, no, you don't. You're not seeing her. Randall can look her in the eye. Kevin, you can't touch her. And we get this really touching scene of Kate just bringing her brothers in to see Rebecca. Rebecca sitting at the end of the bed, and Randall is combing her hair, and Kevin is putting lotion on her hands because her hands is dry. And Kate's just watching. And I thought that was so, so great.
Really fantastic scene that is pretty much completely silent, and it's telling with, you know, just the things going on there, where you can see Kevin and Randall kind of bonding with this new version of their mom. Mm-hmm. Like, and loving her the way she needs to be loved, and seeing the happiness on Rebecca's face when Randall's, you know, brushing her hair and Kevin is putting the lotion on her hands. So it's a very very touching scene, a very, like, you know, well acted scene from everyone with no dialogue.
Yeah. And I think I don't think it would matter what they were doing, but just the fact that they were all together and like seeing her is what really mattered.
All this brought about from Kate after getting a pep talk from
her
best husband. Philip didn't give her this pep talk. This was a Toby pep talk.
This is fair. I think we had some feedback in the Discord from Jess, who brought this up, that like Kate has two great loves, just like Rebecca has two great loves. And so maybe Toby is Kate's Jack without dying, and Philip is Kate's Miguel. You know, like, we weren't hot to trot on Miguel at the beginning, but who knows?
We're not going to have time to see Philip mature.
Yeah, Miguel. No, we don't need a Philip movie to prove
no,
this.
No, if y'all give me some Philip backstory these last two episodes, I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't want any Philip backstory.
We're going to get it.
No, I hope not. I'll flip a table if I get some Philip backstory. what if they devoted like 15 minutes of the very last episode to like Philip backstory?
Like the epilogue.
This is what you don't know about Philip. Yeah. I will lose it.
Did you know? No. Yeah, but I think, you know, That's a fair observation. I could see that.
Yeah, I think that's an apt, very apt comparison. You know, that'd be, but you know, hey, if Jack never died, Rebecca would still be with Jack. Okay.
Would they? Because would Jack start drinking again? Would Rebecca want to go do singing and not be able to? Like, because, you know, like, it's a lot easier to say I can't do it because I don't have a husband and I have to do it. But like, if you have a husband there and he's not picking up his side, he's sleeping, he's not picking up his side of the table, that kind of stuff. You're like, I don't know. I do wonder if they would still be together.
Oh, that's an interesting theory. Hear that, everybody?
Jesus, like, whatever.
Poo-pooing Jack and Rebecca Pearson, the best couple in TV
bring
history.
It. She's poo-pooing bring it. It's fine. MARZBARS on Twitter. It's fine. I'll take
that's
the
who you. That's who you send your mail to.
Take, not, yeah. Don't, I'll take.
I am all about the Jack and Rebecca. I think they'd still be together today.
It's clear.
Marissa's poo-pooing it. Marissa's saying
I'm
that Jack.
I'm not poo-pooing. I'm questioning.
Jack would torpedo their relationship later in life.
I didn't say it was his fault.
You said you started drinking again.
Or Rebecca wanted to go sing and she couldn't sing and she really wanted to go do the thing. Like, I think they both had things that could have brought them away from the relationship.
Okay. All right.
I just think
relationship, that's cool.
There's an alternate universe where it exists. And you know what? Anyway, back
somewhere in the multiverse.
Yeah.
Jack and Rebecca are divorced parents
that
have made the big three bitter because their parents have divorced and they're much worse versions of themselves. In that version of the multiverse.
I've covered enough TV now that I know that's happening. So now we get a little cute little scene about their first pregnancy test and how they think they're having one baby.
And ah, you fools.
It was cute.
Sweet, naive, ignorant fools. You will have three handfuls. You won't know how to deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Back at the new cabin, it's time for family dinner. Kate has an announcement to make, and Randall's like right now. And I, first of all, it's like, Randall, like, you just saw your sister do something like super great. Why are you being such a, why are you being so Randall here? I was like, really? Now with everyone here? And
with all
like,
these strangers? Randall, this is our family. What are you talking about? Except for Eli and Madison. I'm not sure why you two are still here, but okay. You could stay, I guess. I don't know why you're here eating our Chinese food and infringing on our family time.
But well, okay. I mean, this is probably why they're here, because Kate says...
This is so weird. But yeah, go
Kate's
ahead.
Like,
I,
hey,
I have much to say about this.
Moving Rebecca in with Randall is not an option because you have to put your work back into DC. That's what mom would want. We can't leave her here. So, you know, Philip and I were talking and we're going to move her back to LA. And that's we'll find the best place for her to live. I'm like, okay, I don't really love that, but I can see how she got to that conclusion. And this is where, again, I've been saying it. But this is where I think it finally happens. Kevin becomes Jack Pearson 2.0, because Kevin says, I'd like to offer up another idea. The thing you did yesterday, having us look at her, really made things clear. And he says, I know what the new plan should be. And we see that from Jack throughout the entire series. Like, I know what we need to do. I just know what it is. And Rebecca like blindly follows him because he trusts, like, the trust between the two of them. So she's like, I know what we need to do. Sophie and I were up all last night talking and we're going to move here to live with mom. And they're like, no, but kids, what about the kids? Madison and Elijah are like, well, actually, so Kevin was the only thing keeping us in California because Elijah has family in New Jersey. So we wanted to move out here anyway. Maybe? I mean, okay, heck? Convenient. That's mighty convenient.
This whole thing was too tidy. Like, way too tidy. If I had to give a criticism to this episode, this is it. Like, this is way too convenient. Like, we're all of a sudden hearing, oh, yeah, Eli's parents live in New Jersey. You know, my parents suck, so I'm willing to move to New Jersey. Kevin, we're all here because of Kevin's. This is perfect. This is a great convenient thing just to fall into our laps. Like, that was so crazy to me. I'm like, okay, this is a little much.
They did go on a tour earlier in the day, Jason. the one day they were there in the Poconos. Yeah. Thinking about this. So, you know, yeah, no, this was a little too tidy for me as well. I think, you know, it was just like, oh, okay. But then again, I'm like, they only have three episodes. So of course it's going to be tidy. Like, we didn't see any of this coming. They had to do it some way. I'm really glad it worked out for Kevin the way it did.
Like, really well, like fantastically well. Like, this was perfect. And then, like, Edie and Nikki kick in, like, oh yeah, we're gonna be able to take care of everything too. Like, this is perfect. Like, what? You all of a sudden have like six people that are looking after her at this point. Like, what?
That's when I did, like, that's when I could feel the tears coming, when like Nikki said that they won't be alone. It was like, oh my gosh, Nikki, you're gonna like take care of them too. Like, be with Rebecca. Oh my gosh, it was a lot. And with Kevin, like the whole thing.
He says they won't do he won't do the gross stuff, which is a great Nikki, you know, Nikki-ism. And then, and he throws it to Edie. He's like, Edie's a habit, he's a cook. And then Edie, who is channeling some Beth comedic moments here, is like, yeah, Nikki turned out to be a half decent human being. Like, ah, oh crap. Like, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Kate's concerned that it's like too much, you know, but then, yes, everyone's like, no, don't worry, we'll be here. And then, I don't know if think this was necessary for Randall's like psyche. But like Kevin goes to Randall, you're probably thinking I'm not up for it, but I am. And Randall like super dads this whole situation and like goes in for a handshake and says, thank you. And I was like, okay, if you feel like you have to take the responsibility and physically transfer it to another human being, I'm all for it. Whatever you need, whatever you need.
Maybe it's just but the it was chaos.
Super ceremonial in my mind.
Maybe it's just a chaos energy within me, but I kind of wanted Randall to look Kevin in the face and be like, "You're right. You can't handle it, Beth. Get Rebecca. We're going back to Philly right now." Like,
oh no, he knows better with Beth. He knows better to. Yeah, no.
But yeah, this was an interesting moment. Like, why did Kevin like really need like Randall's approval? I guess, like, and that just lends to the whole like Randall's kind of like second dad type of thing.
Yeah.
It was a little odd for sure.
Yeah, it was just, but again, if it helps Randall, I'm for it. And they have this little moment where they're like, perhaps this is the reason there were three of us. I guess maybe.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that, but I was like, okay, sure.
I was like, sure. That's quite trite to end this whole thing with, but okay, moving on. Then we know the plan, that's what's going to happen, and we get a couple of scenes with Kevin and Sophia are living in the house. Randall comes to visit, but he comes to visit, you know, like on his own, which I thought was also great. He just like pops in for a visit, brings some Chinese food, reads to Rebecca. Kate and the kids and Philip come to visit. So they're coming in.
Philip at home, but okay.
But Kevin and Sophie look happy throughout this entire time. They're really, you know, welcoming. We do get that scene that we've seen before of Kevin, like old Kevin, welcoming
Zaddy in. Kevin. I think
he looks a little Ben Affleck-y. Like,
they got the rugged gray beard. Ooh,
yeah, I know. I know. But it's one night where Zaddy Kev is like, hey, puts Rebecca down, and she's in a hospital bed.
Don't say puts Rebecca down.
Puts Rebecca down for her night. Yep, that's what I meant. Puts her down for a sleep. But she's in a hospital bed. Like, this whole time she's, I think, mm-hmm. been in the bed that she had.
She and Miguel had the Bert and Ernie beds after a certain amount of time, like little individual beds.
Yeah, but now she's in a hospital bed, and you can just tell by the way that Kevin's saying goodnight, that it's not great. And he picks up the phone and he calls Randall and says, You Beth and the kids need to get here as soon as possible. It's not looking like we have much time.
So it seems we have really connected some timelines here. Because this is probably right before we start the actual cabin, like, flash forwards. Because, you know, you got to imagine that the next thing will be Randall. We see that Randall going to Tess in the future scene. That's probably, like, the day after he gets the call. Any weirdness that he only called Randall and we saw no call to Kate? We have not seen Kate in the cabin flash forwards.
Oh, good points. Oh no.
Like, no, they cannot do that to us. Like they can't. They cannot do that to us. I will be livid.
I'm gonna go with Kate's already there.
Yeah, that has to be it, right? Like Kate was visiting already, and she's there. Like, but I do think they're trying to get us. Like, I think like they're subconsciously trying to get us again. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah, you brought this up a couple times, and like it wasn't until like you said she didn't make a phone call or he didn't make a phone call to her that I was like, oh no. Yeah. But yeah, I think because we only see Rebecca's bedroom and Kevin standing outside of it at that mm-hmm. time. So yeah. I'm going to guess that she's already there because they're twins and that's how they roll.
They got that telepathy.
Well, that wraps up this episode. Jason, how many tissues was this one for you? On a scale of 1 to 5, how many tissues did you use?
You know what? I was at a 2 for most of the episode. Pretty much just because of Rebecca's state. I think Rebecca's state pretty much earns 2 tissues by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the very end where, you know, he's making the call and all that, I think I added an extra tissue. So I'll give it a 3 tissues this week. How about you?
Yeah, I'm about that as well. Comparative to the weeping I was doing the last episode, I was definitely, you know, crying, but not necessarily like needing to call my parents and tell them things. I was, you know, this one I was like, oh, I got to start thinking about my parents. And yeah, this is, gonna, you know, this is a conversation that we're going to have, but yeah.
Next week is going to break the scale. Next week is going to break the tissue scale.
Okay, yeah, because let's talk about this for like one moment. We did see the little teaser trailer for next episode, and I swear, of course they'll do this. Of course, this is how they're going to do it. Like, everyone's going to file in and have their own personal moment with Rebecca and do the how much you mean to me and what you, and Beth saying, like, all I was trying to do was be a mom like you. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, I started the tissues already for next week with that little scene. I was like, oh my God, here we go. Like, yeah, it's going to be every single person that's important to Rebecca coming in and letting them know, like, you know, what Rebecca meant to them and what the mark she left on her life is. Is Beth giving this I should try and be a mother like you, is that supposed to be Kate's speech, and is Kate not gonna be there to give it?
No, stop it. No.
They wouldn't do that to us. They could not do that to us. I would be really mad.
Okay, like, the only way like is like, oh, and Kate's like off in some other land in her spinoff, which we know, like, we don't know. Like, then it would be like super jump the shark, like super like not great.
She's over in like Europe with Jack on his European leg of his tour or something.
Yeah,
like,
something.
And they're trying to get back. They're trying to get back on the plane right now.
That's when the Philip backstory comes. Like, more Philip. We're in Europe visiting Philip's family and Kate, and this is them instead of This Is Us, coming soon to TV near you.
Philip. I don't want to see Philip anymore. After the last episode, Philip can go.
Well, thank you all for sticking with us as we cried our way through this one. Jason, where are you crying or not crying in other places of the internet?
I think this is the only one I'm crying on, but I do have a couple other shows I'm doing. you can follow me on Twitter at JAYR1085. We just wrapped up Winning Time here on post-show recaps with myself and Grace Leader. The finale, the season was this past week, and we wrapped it all up. You can check me out there with Grace. You can also check me out on the Married at First Sight wrap up on the Rob S Podcast Network, where we're talking about Married at First Sight. Decision Day is this week, where the couples decide whether or not they're going to stay married or get a divorce. So we will be discussing all of that. It should be out around Thursday or Friday, so check me out there. Anything else coming down the pipe for me, you can check me out on Twitter. I will be promoting it there. Marissa, how about you?
Well, I can be found at, as mentioned before, if you have anything you would like to say about whether Jack and Rebecca would be together and my thoughts on it, you can find me at Mars Bars on Twitter, MarzBars. I'm also hanging out in the Patreon Discord. If you'd like to join the Post-Show Recaps Patreon program, go to patreon.com/post-show recaps. There you get access to our Discord, which is a hoppin' a hop-in place. We have two levels that you can join us at. If you join us at the campus level for $5 a month, you get access to just a short little version of it, but it's still, this is where the This Is Us thread is. This is where we're talking about this show. If you join us for $10 a month, you get access to the entire Discord, which is like so many hallways of fun. I don't even know how else to describe it. But you can find me hanging out there. Podcasting wise, I'm also covering The Staircase, which is an HBO limited series about the Michael Peterson case, with my partner in crime, Ariel. And that airs on Thursdays. Podcasts usually drop the day after. Other than that, I'm just waiting around. We got two more of these, two more episodes with the Pearsons. So I'm counting my blessings and burdens until then.
60-40 blessings, burdens, depends on the day, Big Marissa. You know, we never know what we're going to get each week, how if we'll be burdened with tears or blessed with laughter from that Pearson. The true Pearson of them all.
It's true. Well, until next time, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you later. Bye.